Hey there, this is Doc Mike the Redneck Dentist live. Well, right now I'm live. You might be listening on a podcast here on a Wednesday night on Real Liberty Media. You can join the conversation by going to reallibertymedia.com. Check in the chat room there. Say hi to everybody. Enjoy the conversation. Enjoy the show. You guys, today was one of those days. It was so gorgeous here. And it was like, I really needed this day today. I don't know why. Maybe like you guys, winter time, I don't know, clouds, dreary stuff, kind of everything kind of, you know, kind of beating on you a little bit. And it was just sunny, blue sky, like 60 degrees, beautiful today. And I stayed here and enjoyed it. Wasn't really playing hooky. I had a lot of stuff. I was just battling a lot of stuff this morning, and I was just like, nope, I'm not doing it. I'm not gonna try and fix everything to go to work. I'm just gonna kick it here for the day. And I did, man. You know, I always get up early. No, you don't know that. I always get up early. I go to bed between 9 and 10. I sleep till I'm done sleeping. I get up. So, got up at 4 something. Kind of did my thing this morning. Had coffee and, you know, read some news. And I don't know. Just kind of screwed around in the morning. And then it was like, I'm not going to go to work. I'm just going to kick it. So, what I did was I called work, told them I wasn't coming, and I parked my butt on the recliner at about 6:30 in the morning, and I went back to sleep for an hour or so. So, and I'm telling you, even, you notice I started the show late because, I don't know, I did something and screwed up my setup right when I was going live. So, sorry about that, a few minutes late. But, One thing, I was like sitting here looking at the sunset and the colors were freaking amazing. And it just happens to be like where I'm at. The sun is setting right around 6 o'clock and 9 p.m. Eastern, which means right when I was going live. And I don't know what I did, man, but I went to start the show and I closed something that I shouldn't have closed. And then everything didn't want to work. And oh, well. I'm just kind of refired everything, and here we are. So I noticed in the last hour or two, somebody put in the chat room at reallibertymedia.com, somebody put in the chat room this live show that I have been listening to just in the last few days, maybe the last week, Timcast RL. I think Timcast IRL or RL, something like that. Anyway, guy is awesome. His crew is awesome. They're fun to listen to. And I was kind of listening to them too as we were getting ready, as I was getting ready to start this show. So, yeah, they're great guys. Fun to listen to them. And they always have they always have great conversations so far. I've listened to them for like a week. And they had Marjorie Taylor Greene on, and I forget the other guy's name. But anyway, that was cool. So if you feel up to it, check those guys out. A lot of fun, interesting conversation. Okay, so one thing I wanted to talk about, this is kind of funny. So when Ma lived with us, that's Rochelle's mother, lived with us, and she lived with us for a long time till a few years ago when she passed, and she passed at age 97. And I think I told this story one time. I'll just tell the beginning of this story to lead into what I really want to talk about. So one day I came home from work and Rochelle came home from work and Ma says, you know, okay, well, it's over. And we're like, what's over? And she goes, Earth, it's over. It's done. And we're like, what's the matter? And she said, well, there's a rock headed for Earth. She said, there's a big rock headed for Earth. And we're like, oh? And then we're kind of catching on like, oh, okay, news story of some kind, you know. And sure enough, I mean, I don't know, that was 20 years ago. Sure enough, there was an asteroid headed toward Earth. And of course, the graphics they show on the TV makes it look like a gigantic freaking asteroid. And, you know, all the doomsday stuff that goes with it, you know, it's going to destroy the Earth. If this, you know, if this asteroid were to hit the Earth, it would cause this kind of damage. And of course, Ma was born in 1919. That's right, because she would have been 100 3 years ago. That's right. So she was born in 1919. And, you know, I mean, so she, you know, her frame of reference is whatever she's experienced in her life. And then to see this graphic on the TV with a giant rock headed for her. And she thought this rock was going to hit Earth and destroy the planet. Okay, so fast forward to the last week or so. Rochelle tells me that there was going to be a coronal mass ejection, because we're always talking about space stuff and we're always kind of following what's going on in the skies. And when we sit in the hot tub in the dark at night, you know, if it's clear, we like to look for satellites and meteorites and, you know, whatever else is going on out there, UFOs and identified flying objects, whatever. But so, you know, the grandkids hang around here a lot because, you know, they moved in and so they're here all the time. So Rochelle tells me about this coronal mass ejection that's going to happen. I think it was like Saturday or Sunday, you know, it was going to happen. And then, of course, we'd have the solar winds and we were having a geomagnetic storm at the same time. And, you know, all kinds of things were going on. And of course, Rochelle and I are talking about this stuff just like, you know, we would any other time we would hear about this. Or if, you know, there was going to be a meteor shower, we're like, oh, the Perseid meteor shower is coming, you know, or, you know, the Leonids or whatever. So, you know, the grandkids were kind of, you know, they were kind of all hyped up. I think I mentioned on the show Saturday that, you know, we were talking about how if this coronal mass ejection happened, you know, it could take out the internet. And the grandkids are all like, oh, no, not the internet. How long is the internet going to be down? And instead of like thinking, you know, what kind of real damage could be done to, you know, human beings and life on Earth, you know, you get hit by the, you know, by the, you know, solar, whatever it is, solar winds and all the radiation that comes with it and all that other stuff. But no, it's just like, how long is the internet going to be down? Which was pretty funny. But then, so Rochelle's reading her, you know, whatever news feed she gets from space.com or Sky or who knows what. And it says the largest comet, was it comet or asteroid? I think largest comet ever discovered is toying with our solar system and will make its closest approach to the Earth in 2031. And, you know, so we were kind of talking about that. And, you know, this thing is like a massive comet. It's like, they say it's between 75 and 95 miles in diameter. I mean, that's a pretty freaking big comet. Or whatever, comet or asteroid, whatever it is. So that kind of caught my attention because, you know, we're always kind of interested. And 2031 isn't that far away. I don't know if I'll live that long or not. I mean, nobody really does, right? But so we were kind of talking about that. And then I saw this story because we had been talking about the coronal mass ejection last week and a geomagnetic storm. And then I read this story. Now, how this is, it's kind of interesting the way that there's some wording in the story, and I am not going to read it to you, but it's basically, it's in Popular Mechanics. It says, why SpaceX lost up to 40 Starlink satellites in a solar storm. And it was just like over the weekend, you know, these satellites, and it's kind of interesting. There is some kind of, oh, safety measures sort of, put in place to keep these satellites, I guess, from just going crazy or going totally out of control, or which I'm not convinced that they didn't or won't. But the story kind of says that basically Starlink launched a bunch of satellites, and the first thing they do is they put them in a low orbit, for whatever reason, I guess to kind of make sure that they're established and everything's going to be okay, and then they climb into a higher orbits, right? All every different satellite. But what happened was the coronal mass ejection and the solar storm that followed, and maybe the other whatever geomagnetic storm that was going on, well, it damaged them. So they can't go to their spots. And now the story says that the satellites actually have disintegrated or will disintegrate on reentry, which I guess, you know, in some ways, that would make for a pretty cool show to see like 40 objects reentering the atmosphere of the Earth. But on the other hand, you know, what if they don't? What if they just go out of control and they end up in orbits that they're not supposed to be in? Because, I mean, they're supposed to go to a certain place, you know, and I think that, you know, that's part of his internet plan, you know, to provide internet to the entire world, which, you know, there's more to it than that, or at least I know there's more to it than that, or at least I feel like there's more to it than that. But, like, if they're just up there, like, not being, you know, controlled, like, where they're going or where they should be, or what happens if they don't kind of follow, like, I don't know, abort protocol and re-enter the atmosphere of the Earth and get burned up to pieces? I mean, are they just going to be up there, like, destroying stuff, destroying other objects that are orbiting the Earth? We already know that one, and I forget which one that was. Well, you know that we have a rocket engine from, I don't know, 15 years ago or something that's going to smash into the moon, I think next month or something like that. And then there was some other piece of debris that got away and almost, oh no, I think it did put a hole in the International Space Station or a solar panel or something. I mean, it can be very dangerous. And actually, what I kind of remember from that story of the piece of debris that hit some other object, I thought it was the International Space Station, but it could have been something else, is that kind of now once that motion is set in, once that is set into motion, it's kind of like having a room full of ping pong balls on mouse traps, and as soon as one goes off, it's just like, you know, it just gets out of control rapidly. So even though that one object didn't create, you know, a life-threatening situation for the people on the International Space Station, it did create some more debris to be flying around out there in space. And the thing is, I mean, I have no idea how many objects we have launched into space and orbiting, but it's a ton. Because just the ones that you can actually track is a ton. I mean, hundreds or maybe thousands that you can actually track. I was actually gonna talk a little bit about ham radio, and this might be kind of a good sort of transition to that, because you know that there are some satellites that you can actually communicate with a ham radio, amateur radio, and it does take some special equipment. But actually, the International Space Station is pretty simple. I think you can do it with packet radio. I actually did it way back when I was really enthusiastic about ham radio. And I actually got a QSL card from them, which was cool, the International Space Station. They send you a QSL card, which is a card saying that you actually contacted them. So if you have certain kind of ham radio gear, you can actually, well, number one, you can track satellites, and number two, many of the few of them, you can actually send a certain digitized message to, and if they connect to you, they'll send you a message back, and you know, you've made contact with a satellite. You can actually even do moon bounce with ham radio, amateur radio gear. And a moon bounce is you have a directional antenna. I'm going to simplify this. You have a directional antenna and you point it at the moon. And of course, you have to take into consideration a certain amount of movement, I think. And you send a signal to the moon and you wait for the signal to come back to you. It's kind of cool. Haven't done that one. But I read about it way back when. I think I just didn't have the equipment to do it. It's pretty, you know, it's technique sensitive. But while I'm on the subject, I was thinking about the truckers in Ottawa in Canada, and maybe the truckers here in the United States who are starting to put together a convoy. I think it's very interesting that all of a sudden they say the science has changed. And I think the only science that has changed, because I don't think science actually changes. I think we may become more aware of some things in the scientific world, like because we gain knowledge, but I don't actually think the science changes. What science I think actually changed is political science, because like I said a few months ago, here we go into the election year, the midterm elections, and guess what? The dirty bastards got to clean up their game a little bit. You know, they don't want a lot of this stuff hanging over their heads, you know, with elections coming up. I noticed this was actually kind of funny. So I was listening to my favorite radio program during the day, actual over-the-air radio during the day. I was out on the tractor. I actually took advantage of today, man. I just said, I'm just going to go out and I'm going to be outside. I'm going to soak up as much of the sun as I can, and I'm just going to hang out outside. And that's what I did. And so I had my earbuds in and I'm listening to the local radio station. And then I heard that there were these two politicians who wanted to get rid of the gas tax for the rest of the year. And I was like, wait a minute, what? Why would they? And these are two Democrats, which really doesn't make sense. But it does make perfect sense when you consider that it's an election year. Because, you know, Democrats want to tax fossil fuels every step of the way. I was actually explaining this to the grandkids. I'm not going to get sidetracked, sorry. You know that they want to tax fossil fuel. Everything about carbon they want to tax, right? So why would all of a sudden these two Democrats come up with this idea to waive the gas tax for the rest of this year? Which, I mean, makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Doesn't it actually make perfect sense? It's just February. You know, the rest of the year goes to, let's say, what, November? And then as soon as the first Tuesday in November passes, we can plug that tax back in and double it. But I think that's the only science that has actually changed. But, you know, they were talking about the science has changed in reference to mask mandates and vaccination mandates and all these other mandates when you know that science hasn't changed one single bit. In fact, Walensky was still hanging on to it today, doubling down, tripling down on, you know, everything. Oh, but hey, I have a sound clip I was thinking about playing for you guys, but here's the problem: is it's a local thing. It's our Oregon's state epidemiologist, who is actually a pediatrician. And yeah, I had to listen to him, because I just had to hear. Sometimes you just have to entertain yourself by listening to this guy. just to hear him dance, you know, just to hear him dance. So I may or may not play that clip. We'll see if we get, if we run out of time. Oh my gosh, the time does fly, doesn't it? That's amazing. Okay. Well, anyway, yeah, so basically he was talking about, you know, how by March 31st, we are going to end the mask mandates here in Oregon. And I don't think he said facts at all. I think he just said mask mandate. And the reason, his reasoning was that by then, the numbers of people in the hospital are going to be, you know, at an acceptable level. And I was thinking to myself, how do you know? You haven't been able to predict one single month what the hospitalization levels were going to be at. And it didn't seem to matter any time in the last 2 years. A matter of fact, it blatantly did not matter at all any time in the last 2 years what the rate of hospitalization was. And, of course, the number of deaths, you know, or we're going to be at an acceptable level, whatever that means. But my point is, how could this guy even begin to state that as some kind of factual statistical information that they were going to use to get rid of the mask mandates and maybe the vax mandates? I don't know. But while he was yammering on about how, you know, so many Oregonians have died and so many have been hospitalized and, you know, the same old song and dance, I was thinking to myself, yeah, and you know what, if you were worth what we're paying you, a lot of those people, probably 80% of those people didn't have to die. You know, even the elderly patients who got COVID way back in the beginning, they didn't have to die. Yeah, exactly, Grammy. What are acceptable levels of death? Well, apparently we've seen them. My point is, so this guy is apparently some kind of Oregon Health Authority, you know, expert. He's the appointed epidemiologist of Oregon, which I have no idea how he got that title. I have a feeling it's just one of those things, like you go to work for the state, you're working in the state hospital or state prison or something, and somebody says, hey, would you like to be the epidemiologist? We don't have one. And you're like, oh, yeah, okay. You know, does it come with more pay or benefits? Okay, I'll do it. And I think that's kind of how he ended up in the position. But then, you know, to kind of do the stuff that he has done and not do the stuff that actually would have helped people, just like every other state in the union, just like every other government, governor, mayor, almost, in the United States and throughout the world, we could have done the right thing. We could have allowed for the proper kinds of treatment in the hospital, high-dose steroids, anticoagulants, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, all of those cheap drugs that could have kept people alive, that could have saved lives. We didn't do all of that. And it doesn't seem like we're going to do that now either, which is kind of sad, because you think, okay, well, so, okay, if you no longer, or maybe there's another way for me to say that, if you've already maximized your profits on all those expensive drugs, then what would it hurt for you to say now, hey, let's use those cheap drugs too. Let's let those cheap drugs do what they're supposed to do, or let people try them and actually save lives. And maybe that's what they're thinking. Maybe what they're thinking is, well, we know that the hospitalization rate's going to be down because we're going to let people do all this stuff. And then, you know, we won't have any stress on the hospital. Because that's what Walensky was saying. Walensky was saying, you know, well, we're not there yet because the strain on our healthcare system is too much still. And guess what? I still think it's going to get worse. Sorry, I got to have a drink because you can tell I need a drink. You know, there are people similar to me who, honestly, you know, I don't regret having got the vaccine. So far, I've been lucky. Probably in the next 3 years, I'll be dead. According to some people, you know, the next 3 years, we're going to have 30 million people die from having got the vaccine. But I'm going to tell you, I struggle, I think, every day with this. And I know it's stupid because I tell people all the time, I tell my staff members also this kind of information. And I don't mean it in a mean way, but I tell staff members, look, if you get a better offer, you should go to that better offer. If it's truly a better offer, you should go, because there will be somebody to fill your shoes when you go. And it's not like, hey, you know, get out because I don't need you or want you or like you. I'm just saying, don't stay because of something that you think exists that doesn't exist, as in this company really cares about you, because that's probably not true. I struggle every day because I really am at that point where I'm ready to retire from dentistry. But I know, I should take my own advice. I know that in this community, the next nearest dentist is 15 miles away, which is no big deal. I mean, people can go there, I guess. And there's a few people in that little city. But a lot of people out here, you know, in the sticks, you know, this is where they come to get their care. And it's, you know, and I'm probably being kind of naive and a little egotistical to think that they're not going to find another dentist to come out here and live in this little community or to drive out to this little community to provide care. But this is what I know. Dentists now come out of school with over $500,000 of debt. So over $500,000 of debt that they have like 20 years to pay off. Now, when I got out of dental school, I was $48,000 in debt. So it's gone up 10 times as much as when I went to dental school. Uh-oh. Oh, we'll take a little break. All right, welcome back. This is Dr. Mike Rydnick, dentist, and that song was put in there to remind me to share with you that it is donation month. So please come to Real Liberty Media, hit the donate button, and just give a couple bucks if you like the shows that you hear, if you like the site, if you like the chat. You know, let's keep it going. You know, it's a great place to hang out. I even actually heard something kind of crazy. I've been saying for, well, a long time. I've only been here about a year. As a matter of fact, I think I'm coming up on my one-year anniversary in the next week or so of doing shows here on Real Liberty Media. And I've said from the beginning that Real Liberty Media is an awesome domain name website to have. Especially in this day and age, people are looking for the truth. They're looking for ways to live life differently than they have, because what they've done in the past, just like for me, it hasn't worked and it's not working. It's kind of interesting to see people kind of talking about, you know, how many seats are going to be gained and what a wipeout it's going to be for the Democrats. Yeah. It's going to be exactly the same as it's always been. That's the problem. We have to live in that system, but we don't have to live by that system. So Real Liberty Media, I think, is an awesome place to come and some get some information, listen to different shows, listen to people's opinions, man. I really enjoy it. So you know, if you feel it in your heart and soul, mind, come to reallibertymedia.com, hit the donate button, leave a few bucks. We only do this in February, as far as I know. So it's February. Let's do it. So what was I talking about? Okay, so I'm going to make this part short so we can move on. But basically what I was getting at is it's tough for me to think about like giving my notice, like, hey, I'm done. Because I know what this community is going to go through until they get another dentist. And let me just, kind of along those lines. So this corporation, my corporation called me left a message and said, hey, we need to get together and talk. And this was yesterday. I said, you know, just a quick conversation. So I wrote back. I said, hey, well, now is fine. And literally seconds later, my phone rang. And I was at work, which was kind of crazy because I never answer my phone at work. And I'm never near my phone at work because I'm always treating patients and, you know, busy. Anyway, I answered the phone and they're like, hey, we don't know if you know this, but you probably heard we fired the dentist at the Coastal Clinic, which is 40 miles away from me. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Well, I did sort of hear something, you know. Yeah, okay. And they go, okay, well, so what are you going to do? Oh, my life, I'm telling you. What are you going to do when these patients start showing up in your office? Like, are you going to have to do a whole new exam? Or, you know, we hate for them to drive all the way to Sheridan and, you know, not get anything done. Of course, they understand that it's my license at stake, so I will always do at least a, you know, preliminary exam and see if I agree with somebody else's treatment plan before I provide treatment. And if I don't agree with it, I will give that patient the options that I think they need to hear and we'll agree on something or not. So not only, you know, do we have our regular patients that come from, well, all over this county, now we're going to be taking on more. And I actually went to my office manager and said, well, you heard that, you know, they got rid of this dentist and, you know, they're looking for places to put their patients. And, you know, where are we going to put them? Because about 2-3 weeks ago, I told my staff, I go, look, we need to open up a couple more appointments, which was like one of the stupidest things I could possibly say, because we're already booked 2 columns of 8 hours a day, multiple. It's stupid. But this is what I was seeing. People were coming in who needed some kind of emergency care, but they can't get emergency care because we don't just leave an hour or 2 hours open during the day for maybe somebody will show up. You know, you got to produce, you have to produce dentistry. You got to pay the bills. So you got to have patients scheduled so that you can do some service and then squeeze emergencies in and then try and treat them at some other appointment. So you do like a little x-ray and exam and figure out what they need and then schedule them to come back and get treated. But it's the same thing. There's no openings for 4 months. So I told my staff a couple weeks, 2-3 weeks ago, I go, look, we're just going to have to start putting them in maybe 3 a day, just shove them in somewhere and tell them that we'll get to them, but they're just going to have to wait. So we already did that like 3 weeks ago, and now this other entire clinic who had 2 or 3 dentists like a year ago, 2 years ago, now they have 1 part-time dentist And all of those, you know, those people are going to scramble to find care wherever. And my point is, where I started this about 20 minutes ago, is the healthcare system is going to continue to be strained. You can't shut down the healthcare system for 2 years and you open it up and it's magically, you know, back on schedule. You got 2 years of healthcare issues that you have to make up for, plus the new healthcare issues that are showing up, which we know there's going to be tons of because, you know, the Public Health Service, NIH and CDC has done a lousy job at improving Americans' health over Fauci's entire career. He's done an absolutely horrible job. You know, so my point is, there's just a huge backlog. The system is strained, and you're not going to fix it. You broke it. You bureaucrats broke the system, and it's not going to be fixed because you cancel the mandates and just expect everybody to go back to work. 30% of the dental, I don't know what you want to call it, the dental profession, 30% of us are within that age range of retirement. They expect 30% of us to retire in the next couple of years. Okay, so you just had 2 years of shutdown, basically, you know, where there was limited access to care. You lost a bunch of staff with your stupid bureaucratic decisions. And now you're facing, you know, because there's a lot of guys my age that I've talked to and they're like, yeah, man, I don't know how long I'm going to hang in here. I mean, for me, it was like, yeah, one more stupid restriction, which they almost pulled off. I was so surprised that they didn't make masks and vaccine status permanent. At least I haven't heard that it's permanent. Oh, but let me tell you. I'm going to tell you why this talk is going on right now in Oregon. This is something if you're not from Oregon, you won't be familiar with this. Oregon does not have sales tax, which I'm sure you're all thinking, oh, that's awesome. You know, we have sales tax. It sucks. I'm just telling you, I'd rather have sales tax than income tax. And the reason is because everybody pays sales tax. Not everybody pays income tax. So whenever in the state of Oregon, whenever they propose an increase in taxes, all of those people who don't pay income tax, they vote for an increase in taxes because it doesn't affect them. But in states where you have sales tax and you talk about raising the sales tax, people take that stuff a little more seriously because everybody pays sales tax. Now, the reason I think that now Oregon is talking about, you know, lifting these mandates, blah, 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 is because, right, Rob Works, it's all theft for sure, is because Oregon is actually going to, and I think they already did, pass a 3% sales tax, which they've tried to do by a vote of the people multiple times in my lifetime. They've tried to get a sales tax in Oregon. They've never been able to do it. So Oregon Congress, all on its own, just decided we're just gonna create a 3% sales tax. Guess what it's for? And I am not joking about this. The 3% sales tax in Oregon is being created so that Oregon, the state of, can hand out $750 cards, like gift cards to the homeless and the poor. Because apparently Oregon just doesn't do enough, which if you know anything, people, literally homeless people, come to Oregon to get their, you know, free health care, to get taken care of. Of course, there's a gigantic homeless problem in Oregon. Portland looks horrible. It looks like, you know, kind of shanty city everywhere, which if you live in a shanty, I hope I didn't offend you, but I really don't care. But it does look horrible. And Salem, horrible. There's homeless people everywhere, graffiti everywhere, trash and feces and sewage and puke and drugs and needles and, you know, paraphernalia and just horrific conditions everywhere. So I'm sure that $750 whatever card they're going to hand out is going to fix everything. Yeah. I am so happy. You know, so happy to gonna have to include another 3% tax on everything. That's outstanding. Okay. Let's see. What else can we cover in a minute or so? Do I have a minute? Oh, yeah. Sure we do. What else do I have on my list? So, oh, yeah. I think this is what I was talking about ham radio earlier. And actually, I wanted to combine these things. There's no way I can do it now. It's like a couple minutes. But the truckers' convoy in Canada, the people who were supporting that has been so amazing. Like when the cops said that, you know, they're going to, you know, anybody coming in with a gas can, they were going to confiscate it. And all of those people showed up with gas cans. There were hundreds of people carrying, I think, empty, but still gas cans. And it kind of makes you wonder, how did word get out so fast? And I was kind of thinking about the internet and how the internet got started and why the internet got started. But you know what? This doesn't have to be internet. Those guys have radios, number one, citizens band radios, ham radios, which I was talking about earlier. And one of the reasons I was talking about that is because ham radios actually have their own kind of digitized version of radio communications that's sort of like internet. In fact, probably now, I would imagine it probably does tie into internet, although I don't know why you would. Like having some digital communication means over packet radio is kind of awesome. I remember I used to have one, so I'd have a mailbox. And every day I'd come home and see what kind of traffic passed through my station, if anybody left me some mail, or, you know, you could write to anybody, receive mail from anybody. Anyway, it's an awesome way to communicate. And, of course, ham radio and CB radio is a great way to communicate also, and you don't need the internet. So when they go to shut down the internet, thinking that they're going to cripple up this convoy, they got another thing coming, man. Those guys got a communication system set up that really can't be screwed with very easily. I know there's probably radio jammers and stuff like that. But, okay, we cruised through that hour so fast. Sorry I was late. Be sure and come to reallibertymedia.com. Leave a donation. Catch me Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And I will see you guys then. Thank you so much.